Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9.
Your speaker is Jim Boyd.
Ye have heard that it hath been said. This is a phrase that was used by Jesus when he was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, and we're appropriating this as our subject title, and referring not to the things that are necessarily taught in the Sermon on the Mount, but to statements that we have heard from time to time. Things that we have heard has been said, like, we do not have to attend service on Wednesday night, or I'm not going to worship if Brother So-and-so is going to do the preaching. Or you have heard that it was said, I don't have time to do church work. Well, while we're using the phrase in the Sermon on the Mount, and he used it 6 times to contrast the Mosaic Law and the Jewish traditions with the Gospel of Christ, we're presenting a 2-part lesson dealing with things heard today and contrasting them with the truth. Now, we invite your attention to the 2nd part of this 2-part lesson. You've heard it has been said, why, there's nothing wrong with mixed swimming. Now, this, of course, refers to males and females going swimming together in their abbreviated attire. Now, while we have no objection to swimming, nor to males and females necessarily swimming together, even some swimming together in brief clothing, depending upon the relationship that they have, we must be opposed to the wearing of immodest attire, such as is usually worn on the summer scenes, the swimming scenes, the mixed company, male and females, and the wearing of such clothing violates the New Testament teaching on modesty, 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Now, it does not matter what some do. It doesn't matter what some have done. It doesn't matter what may be done by the majority. Friend, when the Bible teaches something, that takes precedence over everything else. And I would have you to reason with me that if the modern swimsuit is modest, just how much more of the body can be exposed in the sight of any and all before there's immodesty? Nobody is deceiving anybody in this matter. Some are just defiant against the truth. The swimming scene capitalizes on wearing brief clothes, almost none at all, that provokes and exploits sexual provocation and desire. It cultivates and promotes immoral thoughts and actions. No honest person will deny it. I hope you don't attempt to do so. It is lasciviousness. It's a work of the flesh, Galatians 5 and verse 19. It is provocative of lewdness and lust, immoral and unchaste thought and deed, which destroys self-respect and modesty. Oh, some might complain, oh, there's just as much immodesty on the streets as down by the beach. Oh, while we have never seen people on the streets and almost nothing that some people wear openly on the beach, whatever is worn immodestly elsewhere does not condone immodesty anywhere. The need for respect for God's teaching on modesty does not have geographical boundaries, nor is governed by the climate. We have heard some try to excuse immodest bathing this way. Oh, nobody thinks anything about that here. Friend, that's a lie. As our children grow toward maturity and gain the awareness of the bodies of those of opposite sex, we must teach them to respect the body, not exploit it, teaching them purity and dignity, and to know the proper functions of the body, and that sexual relationship is to be enjoyed only within the bounds of marriage. It is therefore improper to parade before them near nude bodies, lest they be encouraged to lust that they can and will not be able to fulfill, and it will only lead to their spiritual and physical ruin. You can never teach a boy or a girl to be modest in the modern bathing suit. Wearing them, being seen in them, removes all natural restraints and the sense of modesty. Now, while swimming might be enjoyed without objectionable immodesty, that's usually not the case. That's usually not involved in mixed swimming, as is done in our society. And if we cannot find places and conditions to swim without being near nude before one and all, then it's better to stay dry than to spiritually die. You have heard that it hath been said, well, I may be wrong, but so is he, so is she. You know, this is frequently heard when someone has been criticized for their improper behavior. Some try to minimize and even justify their wrongs because somebody else has done just as bad or maybe even worse. But so what? Why do we even mention what others do? Nobody will be declared acceptable to God because somebody else was not acceptable. Two wrongs never have made a right. We have even heard people try to make something wrong out of something permissible just so they could excuse themselves for doing something that was wrong. Other people and what they do is not the standard of measure anyway. Christ is our example, 1 Peter 1 and verse 21. We're not to measure ourselves by ourselves or by others, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. The Lord's people should apply discipline and reproof and rebuke in order to save. It should be done scripturally and with an even hand. But regardless of the mistakes of others or the mishandling of situations in the past, when correcting others, we can never excuse ourselves by pointing an accusing finger at somebody else. What if Peter, after denying Christ thrice, said, well, what about Judas? And just gone his own way. No, friend, you may have heard it said, I may be wrong, but so is he and so is she. Friend, that's no excuse for doing wrong. We also read of the time when Peter was overly concerned about what would happen to John. Jesus dealt with that in John chapter 21, 18 through 23. Peter may have had real concern for John, but whatever his motive, Jesus let him know that it did not matter what would happen to John as far as what Peter should do. Jesus simply said to him, what is that to thee? And then thirdly, you have heard that it hath been said, you might as well say something if you think it. Now, you know there are people who seemingly have pride in themselves on babbling everything that comes to their mind. And they will say, well, I always say what I think. Well, many times it's obvious that they should have thought before they said. If they had, they might not have said what they did. Now, while it is good not to be deceptive, it's certainly good not to lie, it's good to be honest, it's not always good to empty your brain through your mouth. Proverbs 29 and verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterward. There are times when we might think something, but it simply ought not be spoken. It is true, friends, silence can be golden. If it is just as well to say as to think it, it would render some passages nonsense and meaningless. We are taught to bridle the tongue, James 1:26. We are taught to let our speech be seasoned with grace and salt, Colossians 4 and verse 6. It is not a mark of wisdom to tell everything you think. Some thoughts are evil. They should be suppressed. Thoughts can be sinful. They can either lead others to sin, Matthew 12 and Matthew 15. Evil deeds that follow evil thoughts, that means two evils have been committed, the thought and the deed. Better, if there is an evil thought, that it not also be allowed to provoke an evil deed. In Matthew 5, 27 and 28, it condemns both lust and adultery. If one does lust, he sins. But is it not worse that if he lusts, that he also commits adultery or fornication? Friends, such reasoning would be nonsense. It's ill-conceived. It's ill-considered. Some verbiage simply ought not come forth. It just might be that somebody really wants to say something, knowing that it should not be said, but tries to justify saying it on the basis that one just as well say whatever he thinks, thinking this is being honest. Blessed is that person who learns to discipline his mind and control his thoughts. But if his thoughts go astray, he is better to suppress them rather than to vent them and send them forth in words that he can never retrieve. Yes, There are several points that we've discussed in these lessons on You Have Heard That It Hath Been Said. They're frequently heard. They reflect attitudes that need correction, that even need repentance. They have no place in the heart or the life of persons who wish to follow the Lord. And as Jesus has warned, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.